Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ, who loves you so much. Amen. How many of you have ever sung that song before? All right? You know, it's one of those songs that we grow up as a child. And what's so great about that song is Jesus loves me. Jesus loves all of us. And there's something powerful about this song that says in such a childlike way that all are invited to be a part of the kingdom of God. Because I don't know about you, sometimes in this world, I feel that I don't belong or I'm not welcome. And sometimes you see signs scattered throughout, you know, this world in which we live that basically tell us, keep out, right? Whether it's dangerous or that keep out, this isn't your property. There are signs that say, you're not welcome. You know, you shouldn't go there. And so I found a couple of signs that say this in a different way, and I want to share them with you today. This one is just pretty straightforward. Please go away. I don't care, all right? Just kind of, you know, just go away. I just don't care. This is an interesting sign. If a man speaks in the middle of a forest and there's no woman around to hear him, is he still wrong? Probably. I don't know. All right. For my gun owner friends, if you can read this, you are in range. All right. You know, just letting people know. All right. Beware. This is one that I think I need for my door. No soliciting. We are too broke to buy anything. We know who we are voting for. We have found Jesus. Seriously, unless if you have Girl Scout cookies, all right, go away. You know, there's signs that basically say, you know, you aren't welcome here unless if you have Girl Scout cookies, right? I think there's no greater sign of separation than if you're flying. And especially if you ever sit, like where I usually sit, you know, in the coach, and sometimes they pull that curtain to separate coach from what? First class, right? And so even before you get off the plane, first class is getting a drink, and there's better smelling food when you get pretzels and your little cup. And if you have to, sitting towards the front and you have to go through the restrooms up there, it's just like, I hope it's okay. You know, you don't feel that you belong if you're not sitting up there. They even separate it with a curtain. Some people, I think, when they think about church, they have this impression that church is for only people that sit first class, that there's a portion of our society that feels that they're not welcome in church. And I think we all maybe feel this in different ways in our lives, that we feel a sense of not belonging, a sense of not being welcome. Maybe this was you experienced it in school or with a friend group, that others were invited, but you weren't. Sometimes this even happens in our family. There's some closer connections between some of our relatives, but we get excluded or you're part of there, but you get ignored or you just really get a sense, we don't want you here, go away. You know, there are different times in our lives where we experience rejection, where we experience people kind of giving us that cold shoulder. You're not welcome. You don't belong. And so today, we continue our series about Modgnik, God's backwards kingdom. And I think this is really why this series is so important, because today we're talking about one of the aspects of church that totally turns that upside down from what we experience in this world. These past few weeks, we've been talking about how more is less, how we want to put others first, how we want to be like Jesus who descended into greatness, and that when we are in God's kingdom, our generous God flows generously through us into this world. Last week, we talked about how worship and our lives are not for us, but it's for the glory of God. And so if you spell kingdom backwards and growing M-O-D-G-N, what's the letter for today? I. And so today I want to talk about how in God's kingdom, it's inclusive. God's kingdom is one where God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that all people may be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is a place where God welcomes us. Now, the kingdom of God is not just religion. It's not just, you know, keeping a bunch of rules. But Jesus is inviting us. Jesus is inviting us to be a part of a movement that literally changed the world. And here we are 2,000 years later, continuing to share the good news that, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. But when Jesus walked on this earth, even in his day, there was division. There was exclusion. In some regards, the people of Israel were a people of themselves. They had been chosen by God in a very special way. Jesus' great-great ancestors, King David and King Solomon, they had a desire to build a temple for God. And so this is a model of not that kingdom. You see that the palace that for God, that the temple for God was torn down because God's people rejected him, didn't worship him. And so that temple was torn down by the Babylonians. And then later, about 70 years later, they returned. And by the leadership of Ezra, they rebuilt a new temple. But it was smaller. And then back around when Jesus came, King Herod considered himself the king of the Jews. That's why he was so threatened by Jesus. King Herod built a temple. This is the model of the temple that Herod built for the Jews. And this temple, there was this big courtyard where everybody could be in and be a part of. But to go inside of these walls, you had to be Jews. You had to be a part of the Jewish nation. And then once you got it in here, you know, only men were invited to be a part of that. And then to go into this inner courtyard and even the Holy of Holies, only a certain type of men born of the tribe of Levites. And then once a year, the chief priest, who was selected by chance, went into the Holy of Holies to offer a sacrifice. And this was such a big deal because they were coming into the presence of God that the priest that went in would wear bells on his tassels, you know, at the bottom of his robe so that people can hear if he was still too long. They also tied a rope around his ankle that if he was in there too long, God struck him down, they could pull him out so that nobody else would have to go into this area where God was. It's kind of scary, isn't it? It was a God where I don't know if I want to be a part. I don't know if I want to approach him. And certain people couldn't approach God in all of these different areas. These walls, these divisions were set up in the Jewish faith. But then Jesus came, right? Jesus messed that all up. He turned that upside down. Because Jesus, was he afraid of associating with the Gentiles? Either you were a Jew or you were a Gentile. Those were the only, you know, that's the only division in Jesus' time. And Jesus, he talked to, he interacted, he helped the Gentiles. He even talked to the Samaritans. Jesus was one of those people who interacted with women. In so much of the world, even today, women are degraded and aren't treated with respect. But Jesus honored them. Some women even followed him. Jesus embraced all. When parents wanted to bring children to Jesus, do you remember that? The disciples said, no, don't bother Jesus. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Jesus was inviting of all people in all situations because Jesus wants the world to know that God loves the world. God loves all people of every race, of every nation so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for them. And when Jesus died on the cross, do you remember what happened in the temple? There was this veil. He was 30 feet long and 4 inches thick. And when Jesus breathed his last, this veil in the curtain was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that no longer was God separated from man. No longer were these divisions of the Jewish faith present in this new kingdom that Jesus had enacted through his death and resurrection. Jesus was doing something new to include all peoples, men and women, children, young and old, people from every nationality. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit was poured out so the disciples could accomplish the mission that Jesus gave them. Go, therefore, and make disciples of who? All nations. And so that's what the task of the church is. I love the way that Paul puts this in Galatians chapter 3. Let's read this verse together. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. God does something through our baptism. We are covered with Christ. We are covered in him. And it goes on to say, let's read this together too. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Isn't that amazing? All of the divisions that existed, you know, in the Old Testament, Jesus tore those divisions. Because in Christ, we all come before God as sinners in need of a Savior. There's no Jews, there's no Greeks, there's no slave nor free, male or female. But what unites us? Jesus Christ. And so that's the calling that God has given us in his church, the calling that we have received, the calling that we have in Christ. And I think about this verse, and to be honest with you, you know, racism has existed throughout the ages, throughout the years, within the church. Is there any room for racism? No, there's not. There's no room at all because we're all the same color. We are all scarlet, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're all the same before God, sinners in need of a Savior. And so as we come to God, we come as people, men and women, black and white, gray, not really gray, but brown, you know, all sorts of different colors, okay? You get the picture. But we come to God and we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. And that's what unites us. That's what brings us together. So that Paul can say later on, here in God's church, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. All right. I looked for a little different translation because that's kind of dense. And I like what the Message says. The Message says this: words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. Because from now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is invited, included by Christ, to be a part of God's kingdom, a movement to change this world where we experience the love of God. And so just to kind of review it, in the Bible we see Jesus including everybody, men and women, children, foreigners, the disabled, the diseased, people from different socioeconomical backgrounds, they're all invited by Jesus. The same invitation, he says, follow me. Follow me. I want you to follow me. And notice, as much as we're Talmadge Lutheran Church, we follow Jesus. He is our leader. But the thing that Jesus does do, he invites us to follow him, but he also includes to everyone a call to repent. He challenges everyone about the lifestyles that they have choices that they have made. He calls us all to pick up our cross and follow him. There are some churches who just preach the gospel, just preach the invitation that we have received in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. Sins are very real because they separate us from God. And our sins are forgiven when we repent. And so Jesus welcomes all, but he also challenges us. He loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. Amen? Right? He loves us just the way we are, but then in the process of following him, he says, I want you to love me more than anything else. I want you to be united in Christ more than anything else that unites you in this world. We are inclusive in God's church as sinners washed in the blood of the Lamb. We heard this a little bit more in the gospel lesson, that when Jesus was meeting with all of these guests, he saw how some were sitting in places of honor. People wanted to be honored. And he tells this parable that what would happen if you were in a place of honor? And the host said, well, it's time for you. That's not your place. Come sit down here. You'd experience this dishonor. So he says, instead of honoring yourself, humble yourself. Have a seat at the lower place at the table so that your host may raise you up. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself before others will be exalted. And so in God's kingdom, we think of others first. We humble ourselves so that God may lift us up. And then the final challenge, I think, is something for each one of us to take in our own hearts and figure out, God, what does this look like in my life? Jesus says, when you have a banquet, who should you invite? All right, the people who will invite you back? Jesus said, no, invite the poor and the crippled, the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, when will we be repaid? In the resurrection, in the kingdom to come. You know, the church is a powerful, great thing. But do you know what the number one reason that people don't come to church, why those who have left the church or refuse to come back? The people in the church, right? The way that we treat one another, the way that sometimes we say one thing and we do another, when we get into arguments about the color of the carpet or the color of the paint, or these little things that tear us apart, and the world sees that and says, I don't want to be a part of that. It's important. How can we serve? How can we welcome? How can we seek those to be a blessing rather than to be blessed? So I want to challenge you with these five things here at the end of this sermon, that as Christians, to communicate to people, we really want you here, all right? Whether that's here in our sanctuary, all right? If there's somebody who comes who's a guest and sits in the pew that you normally sit in, all right? Can you tell them, that's my pew, all right? Has that happened here? Yeah. Since I've been a pastor here? Yeah. And so how would you do that differently? How can we be a welcoming place to say, I'm so glad you're here. Can I sit with you? All right. You know, just to make sure that if there's a guest, to welcome them. Also to welcome people into our homes. How can we be welcoming in our workplaces, in our schools, to let people experience the love of Christ through us? To say that our church is not a place for perfect people, all right? If you're not perfect, raise your hand, all right? Jump up and down, all right, okay? We're not perfect, and we don't need or want perfect people here, because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there's no truth in us. And so it's important to remember we're not perfect. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. To be able to tell people, I really want to get to know you. Another thing that sometimes happens in churches is there are cliques. You talk to the same people every week. You go out for a lunch or you get a coffee and you do things with the same people because that's comfortable. That's what you know. That's what you're familiar with. What would it look like if you went out to lunch with somebody else, right? What would it may be a little bit uncomfortable, but to say, I really want to get to know you. What's God's up to in your life? What are you doing? You know, we had some new members received into our church. Is there one of them that you can say, hey, I'd love to get to know you better? Because as a body of Christ, we're all connected. But more important than getting to know one another, together, let's get to know the one who loves us, who died for us, who created us, who has redeemed us. Let's pray together. Let's study God's word together. Let's grow. Let's care. Let's share. And let's make a difference. Let's find ways to help people. And this coming Thursday, that's why we're having this pep talk for a purpose, is to say, let's make a difference for the kingdom of God, that everyone knows that God loves them. The Bible tells us so. Together, let us celebrate this backwards kingdom where everyone is included in the grace of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace we have received through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to belong, not because we've earned it or we've deserved it, but because Jesus has done all the work through his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection. Lord Jesus, you invite all of us into your kingdom. Help us to be a part of this movement, to change this world by loving one person at a time. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.